Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. Hallelujah. So good to be here one more day. Amen. Merry Christmas to those of you who are here and those who are listening. Amen. What an awesome year it has been. And it's just passing on by. Oh, my goodness. Cannot even believe the time. But we thank God for it being us being here one more time to get into the Word of God. And we welcome you on behalf of co-founder Archbishop Drew W. Smith. Amen. Our senior pastor, Bishop Kevin Jones. Thank God for you, and especially you being here today. Amen. We won't be here next week. Hopefully, that'll be family focused, so we can enjoy the holidays with our families. Amen. And we can come back, I think, 2 weeks later, and then hopefully we can get out of Romans 2 today. Amen. And hopefully we can start Romans 3. But nevertheless, we hope that we get something out of the Word of God that will take us through the holiday, and we'll appreciate Jesus being born, amen, once again, amen, in our lives. So before we go on, we're going to have prayer by Pastor Ann Butterfield, and then we have a song.
All right. Come on and lift your hands.
Hallelujah.
Lord,
thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you.
This morning.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You,
we just thank God for another day,
thank
another
you, Lord,
opportunity.
Thank you, Lord.
We can call upon His name.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Give
Jesus.
Him glory.
Thank
give
you, Lord.
Him praise and give
thank
Him
you,
honor.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We just bless the Lord this morning.
Hallelujah.
We just
Hallelujah.
Give Him praise because He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. Hallelujah.
Yes,
that
Lord.
We might be able to
yes.
live again.
Hallelujah.
So
thank
God,
you, Lord.
Thank
you.
Father,
thank
we
you, Lord.
Come before
we give
your
you praise.
Presence right now,
thank
Lord
you.
God, giving you praise,
mm.
giving you honor, giving you glory
thank
because,
you,
God, you are the great I am.
Thank
Lord.
You, Lord. Thank
you,
Lord.
You're the Prince of Peace, Lord.
Mm.
You're the great deliverer, Lord
mm.
God. We thank
yes.
you, Lord
thank
God.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah,
you,
Lord.
Lord
God. Hallelujah.
Thank
you are our strength, oh God.
You,
the joy of the Lord is our strength,
thank
God.
You,
so we thank you
Lord.
For it, Lord. We thank
mm.
you, Lord God, as we come before you today, Lord, that
thank
you would
Lord,
give
Jesus.
Us ear to hear and a heart
mm.
to receive. The word as it come forth in the name of Jesus. Let us be able to recognize ourselves, oh God. Hallelujah, that a change
yes,
may come, God.
Yes,
we thank you for it right
thank
now,
you,
Lord,
Lord
God. Those that are online, those
thank
that
you,
are in
Jesus.
House,
Lord thank
God.
You,
Lord, and those that may hear this broadcast at a different time
yes,
of in yes. the season. It may be
yes.
next year this time
yes,
when you hear this broadcast. So we thank you, Lord God, this Bible study, Lord. We thank you right now, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us the opportunity, Lord God, to do Bible study at noonday. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
7 p.m. Bible study.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
Jesus.
God. We
thank,
thank
you
for our
thank
leaders,
you, Lord.
Lord God.
Thank
we
you, Lord.
We thank
Jesus.
You for every person
thank you,
that
Lord,
is
Jesus.
Under the sound of my voice
thank you,
right
Lord,
now.
Thank you, Lord.
God, you will bless them in a mighty way,
yes,
God.
Lord. Yes,
I
Lord.
Thank you, Lord God, that this season will be great.
Great,
for
great.
Everyone,
yes.
hallelujah,
yes, yes.
in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that you'll move any depression,
yes, Lord,
anything
yes.
that is going on
yes,
with people,
Lord,
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, Lord God, that you will send forth your peace
right now,
to
Lord.
Rule
right now.
And reign
right
in
now.
The heart of your people,
right
Lord,
now.
The young to the old, Lord. And God, we give you glory, we give you praise for this word that is going to come forth. In the name of Jesus. And come on and give God some glory.
Hallelujah.
Give him praise and give him honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For the word of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel, you desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands as we lift our hearts, as we offer up praise unto your name. One more time, welcome. Welcome to this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands as we lift our hearts. As we lift our hands, as we lift our hands, as we lift our hearts, as we offer up praise unto your name. Come on and bless the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Welcome, 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 welcome. Hallelujah. We welcome him in this place, amen, so he can give us a good understanding, amen, of this word. And, you know, I was studying this lesson and thinking about how we can get so religious and think that we got it all together. I thought about an incident that happened that there was a person who really presented the same, displayed the same rambunctiousness to Jesus. In Luke 18 and 18, I'm going to read this so we can understand it. We can see how people really think they got it going on. And when you come to find out, they really don't have it going on at all. And so if we read Luke, the 18th chapter, and the start of the 18th verse, it says, and a certain ruler asked him meaning Jesus, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, that's a loaded question in itself, but we're going to get to it. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, and do not that you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not kill. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." Listen to him now, talking to Jesus. "Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven, into kingdom of heaven. And they that heard it said, "Who can be saved?" And the next verse says, "And the things which are impossible with man are possible with God." That's the answer to the question. You can't be saved by what you do. And this ruler asked the wrong question. He said, "What should I do?" And when we were reading Romans, he said, not that works that any man should boast, right?
Yeah.
When we look at Ephesians 2, he said, it ain't by works, but it's by faith. And so right away, he's so religious that he thinks it's based on what he does. So already he started out wrong, right? He started out the question wrong. He asking Jesus, what must I do? And so since he wanted to do something, Jesus said, okay, let me see how you do with this test. He said, you know the commandment. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And he had the nerve to tell Jesus, bring something else. I've done them for my youth. This is how religious he is now. He's telling Jesus, I have been doing, not committing adultery, not being for a witness, not stealing, not killing. I've been doing that for my youth. Bring something else. And Jesus tell him, listen, you lack one thing. I could imagine in his mind, tell me, no, what you coming up with? You know, what is it? I kept all these commandments. What can you possibly say to the nerve. You're talking to Jesus. I mean, maybe I'm overemphasizing. But he's talking to Jesus, right? The Son of God. He's telling this, I've done all that. Bring something else. And so when Jesus said, you lack one thing. One thing you lack. Sell all you got and distribute it to the poor. Now, Jesus, who without sin, what he did was sold all he had and came to earth. Gave up everything he had and came to rescue us. But here go this man saying, now, Jesus said, you want to be great? Here's what you do. You want eternal life. Here's what you do. Sell what you got and take care of the poor. And then you'll have treasures in heaven. He said, man, I ain't heaven yet. I need my treasures now. See, so treasure in heaven, I can't let go of this stuff. Because this stuff make me think that I've been obeying the laws. I've been doing right because I have the funds. I can do. I can. I don't have to commit these sins, but knowing that the sin is that I love my money.
I think too when he mentioned all of those commandments, Jesus knew it because he was mentioning the external things. And so I know a lot of people say, "Well, you know, he didn't do the full commandments. The ten are not mentioned in the New Testament." But however, Jesus was doing it on the sly because when you get to in Exodus 20, and it says, thou shalt not covet anything, that the neighbor's wife or the his goods and stuff. So what Jesus did here on the sly was went to the covenant part. He covet those things, but you know, all these other external things.
Mm-hmm.
So now with the New Testament and Jesus is talking about here now, he's coming to the man's heart, you know, and then, oh man, you done struck a chord now, wait a minute, that, you know, even not using the word covet,
mm-hmm.
or covetousness,
right,
but
right,
since
right.
he was Jesus, he knew, and he knew what how to approach him to let him see that, you know, okay, this is, now we're talking about you may be a good Jew and circumcised and this,
mm-hmm.
that, and the other, but now Jesus is talking about circumcision of the heart and how he covets all of that stuff, and he's just like, oh, no, I can't, you know, I can't do this. He went away sad, baby.
He went away sad. Now, yeah. He felt like Jesus was blaspheming.
Yeah.
Get rid of my money? What Bishop Kevin said, you done lost your chicken-eating mind. Get rid of my money. And so that's how we can tell. And I heard somebody say before, you want to tell somebody who really sold out to God, look at the checkbook. Because
mm-hmm.
where your heart is, your treasure is going to be at.
Mm-hmm.
and where your treasure is going to be, you can tell what's your priority is where you spend your money. I mean, because wherever you spend your money, that's your priority. And so when our heart get in Elohim, you said it right. It ain't what you do religiously on just doing stuff. Because, you know, people can do stuff, man, and you think they for real. I mean, sometimes they'll shed tears and you think they're for real. And all along, it's just an act to get you to feel something so they can put something over on you. I mean, it's amazing. And so you're right, Elie. This is like saying that now it ain't about the things you do. It's the things you don't do yet. You know, because opportunity presents itself. You be careful. You'll be surprised what people will do. But sometimes we're too old to do some stuff. Sometimes we got the means to do some stuff, right? But so he's saying that, Jesus saying that, go sell what you got. Give it to the poor. And a lot of preachers used to use this here as, this was the 13th disciple. Because remember Jesus said, come and follow me. But he said, I ain't going to follow you broke, bro. I need my money. And so this man went away sad. But when he approached Jesus, he was up here. Understand where he was now. He was up here. He just knew he had it covered. That the only thing Jesus is going to say is, come follow me. You meet the qualification. Like I say, he started out wrong by saying, what must I do? Ain't nothing we can do to save ourselves but accepting Jesus Christ. That's the only thing we can do. That's why he says, not by works, lest we should boast. But people think, and religious folks think, it's about what they do. I pay my tithes. I don't miss church service. But how's your heart? Do you give, or you just give religiously? There's my tithes. I got to pay it. You don't want to pay it. But, and you know, we got a thing in the Bahamas. I don't know if they have it here. That if somebody do something for you unwillingly, it's worse than witchcraft. So if somebody don't want to do something for you, don't let them feed you. That's how we grew up. Somebody don't like you, don't eat from them.
And then we begin to keep up with everything that we have done, like we keep in a list. And see, God don't function like that. That's not even in his vocabulary. So since I said that, this is going to bring me to where I need to read Galatians 6.
Okay.
And 3. Galatians 6:3. It says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves.
Yeah.
And see, that's where we mess up at, because we let pride set in. I paid this amount in church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you already got the blessing. Don't nobody want to know what you paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Maybe someone came and gave a 10 and their heart was right, and you gave 1 million. And your heart wasn't right. God don't look at the amount that is given. He's looking at the heart. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important that we get our priority in the right order.
Mm-hmm.
We are all guilty in that area.
Mm-hmm.
We all let pride sometimes settle
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has to get us back on the right track.
Exactly. Yes. Amen. Yes. Good deal.
I think, too, the scripture that Pastor Butterfield went to, the thing about it is, reading between the lines, is that, you know, sell all that you possess and then give it, the money, to the poor. So the thing about, he wasn't selling to the poor people. because they didn't have enough money to get. So he had to go to the rich people who knew him. He's about pride and sell his stuff. Now they're going to think he can't afford the things he got or his home, but he had to sell to them, and then all the money he got from the rich people now give it to the poor. So now he's not going to have any possessions, and he ain't going to have the money either. So if he give it all to the poor, so wait a minute now.
That's right.
I'm going to be homeless and no money.
So now he's
going to
be
in the
poor
sex.
Yeah, he's
going to
be poor,
isn't he?
Ain't the same thing. I don't receive it now.
Another thing I see called deviant. That is very important. That's it. It doesn't matter if God tells me to get rid of it. He's going to take care of it. That's it, right there. He's going to walk my face.
Yeah, that's
it. That I cannot see that is bothering me, but I look up and say, Lord, you told me
to
you're
do that.
Take care of me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Now, if he had been obedient and did what the Lord told him to do, he would have gave him even more because he would have been obedient. So all that he had, he went and sold it. Boy, you made that point. Now, you know the word is saying that. He said, told him to go and sell. And then whatever he got, give it to the poor. So he was selling to the people that had something and going to give it to the folks that didn't have anything. And if he had done that, he would have gotten that and more back for sure with God.
So when you go and have a yard sale, everything must go. Now the people in your neighborhood going to say, oh, they must be doing real bad.
Yeah, they're trying to sell stuff.
Oh, they must be doing bad. They got a downside. And so if we don't, if we listen to the chatter, our pride started getting up. And
oh, yeah.
I'm doing good. I don't want to be seen that way. We have to make sure that we don't allow pride to get in the way, because definitely he had to sell to his folks. I mean, his highfalutin people at the country club, the one he had to sell to, and they said, "Why are you getting rid of this stuff, man?" Man, God told me, God don't work like that. God ain't gonna take from you. You know how people, what people can use, and they use scriptures on you too.
Sure will.
But pride is our worst enemy, because guess where it is?
Yeah,
it's in us, and that's your worst enemy. If you let it try to get you, I mean, it'll make you do some and disobey.
Yeah.
You got to obey God no matter what.
And obey.
I mean, sometimes it's tough because I'm telling you, we're doing something right now that we wouldn't want to do right now.
For real.
But we obeying God, and guess what? He's making us obey. Well, we going to have the victory.
Ain't got no choice.
We have the victory no matter what, and we're trusting God to work it out. You talking about trust in the transition? You better know you got to trust the transition. You can't see your way down the road.
We got her first.
But God can see down the road. So you got to trust what he's leading you to. Do he got the best for you.
Amen.
You know, and I think that's how we get in a lot of trouble, because perception is everything. Because I know if he was speaking to Jesus, he really thought in his mind that he was doing all the right things, and for him to say, it's as a child. You know, that was easy. That was nothing. Mm-hmm. But when you said something about his treasure and his riches, you, all of it, not some of it, not a little bit, you know, it gives you a different perspective on things. So maybe I'm not all that I thought I was. Maybe I'm not the gravy on this biscuit. You know, and when you sit down and think about it, it's amazing what we perceive, because he really thought he was in good standing.
Yeah, he thought. Sure did.
Wow.
Sure did. So then people, we'd be thinking we're in good standing.
Yeah. It's amazing how people could be in a rut and can't recognize. They could be doing something, and if you, we on the outside looking at it and say, how could they not know that is wrong? But they all in it, and sometimes it should be so deep into it that you can't see nothing else but it. So it looked good because that's all you see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why
why it's important when the Lord have us doing something that we don't share it with other people. Some things are just not meant
to be
shared. Because if we let him take us through the process, then we're going to come out on top. But when we get on the phone, you know, the Lord told me to do that. He told you, why are you sharing it? Because you know the devil is listening. So he's going to use the right person. They're going to pull up the right screen, and you're going to be disobedient to God and then be in trouble again.
Because somebody's going to tell you, God didn't say that now.
I heard something on the View prior to coming to Bible study. They were talking about the space travel, and they were talking about all the folks that are poor, and if they could just donate some of that money to the poor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Concerning the space.
Right.
Yeah. It'd be awesome. I think it'll be awesome. Don't y'all?
And Jesus closes this this section by saying, when he said that it's harder for a camel to go through
the eye of a needle.
Now, eye of the needle is a hole in the wall. Well, you know, camel is where you go through.
Yeah.
And so he said it's harder for a rich man to make it into heaven than a camel to go through that needle. And then to get, because the camel got to get down and, I mean, had to work his way to get through that little hole in the wall, right? But he's saying, but listen what he ends with, though. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So still, it ain't about us. We can't do enough. We can't be good enough. It's going to take God. And so when we come across our ideas in our own head that make us feel like we got it going on, church call for a fast. I don't need to fast. I've been fasting. I got this going on. God is using me. He's talking to me. No, we can't think. We got to humble ourselves. And the thing was that this man, if he had sold everything he had to be humble enough to do that. And sometimes our pride ain't going to let us do that. So we got to make sure that we obey what God says. Even though sometimes it ain't going to feel good. It going to feel crazy. But we still got to, once we know it's God. And you know, I sometimes I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes we just don't know it's God. You know, and that's maybe sometimes we hesitate to do. But if we don't, we ought to ask for confirmation. Because he's confirmed. They don't want to be confused now. God is not a God of confusion. And sometimes he confirms it, but we ain't paying attention. Because God don't never do something without confirmation. Everything he does. I mean, I was telling my wife the other day, it's amazing how that Jesus was the Lamb of God. What?
Yeah.
And I always wonder why he was born in a stable. Where does lamb be born?
In a stable.
That thing's been on my lambs are born in
a stable.
Right? So Jesus, being the Lamb of God, is born in a stable. Wow. Everything God does, it has a specific meaning to it.
Yes.
You don't do anything just to be doing it. I mean, you check this Bible out, and you hear even the name of people means something.
Yes.
People are used in a story, and then their name comes up. Check out what their name means. Mm-hmm. And if he didn't say a name, it applies to us. Mm-hmm. A certain man. A certain woman. It means us. But if he put a name to it, check out what that name means. It's a message to us. I got it. He's awesome. He's awesome. Any other comment? We gonna try to get the scripture. And you know, scripture is really, it's saying one thing, so we can really read the rest of this and dissect what it's saying, because it's talking about circumcision and uncircumcision. Okay, so let's read from 24 to 29. 24 to 29. Who want to read it all? Who want to read it? Not everybody raise their hand. Oh.
Romans 2:24-29.
I have the New American Standard. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you who, though having the letter of the law and circumcision, are a transgressor still of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God.
That's a lot.
I'll let somebody else unfold it. I'm just going to talk about 24.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just say a word, because I have a couple weeks ago, the Lord just said, go ahead and do this little study. So he's talking about the ones, you know, of God that you're causing. When you dishonor God, you're causing these others, you know, you're actually blaspheming him among the Gentiles. They look at God for what he is and what he can do because of the way you act. And so, of course, I'm thinking about the church and Christians and traditions of men, the things we say. And so especially, and I'll have a dissertation that I'll do on it later, but just simplistic things that are not biblically sound according to what Scripture says. So, I mean, and so I'll be doing something on the social media, cyber media and stuff, so people, there'll be a very astute Christian people and pastors or leaders in the church, and I know this is that time. We've been going through COVID, and there's been so many deaths, and there's not only mourning, but there's bereavement, which are two different things. And then they'll put something out on social media, which having a lot of following and friends, and they'll say, oh, happy birthday to my mother in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Happy birthday to my mother in heaven.
You hear that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that is so biblically and theologically incorrect, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes or anything like that. But you're misleading people, and then especially other young ones that are watching. That's just, you know, just a for instance, because if they're in heaven and then they need to marry or given in marriage, and they're like the angels, would Jesus say, well, then the other thing is that why would someone in heaven be looking down? Oh, I know they're smiling down on me. Well, if the word says no one is fit for, Jesus said no one's fit for the kingdom of God, puts his hand to the plow and looks back. So if that's true with people on earth looking back, and you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven, and you can't go, you know, take care of your family, bury your folks, why would someone be in heaven in glory with Jesus and be looking down? That's really looking back. That's looking all the way from heaven and talking about, oh, yeah, I know today my child. No, they're glorifying God. they're in heaven. So I'm just saying we use that. To me,
yeah.
that's causing a block. Or you, it says here, because of you, the Gentiles are blaspheming the name of God. Because, you know, I was just saying we say things so incorrectly
mm-hmm.
and because of traditions
mm-hmm.
and religion
mm-hmm.
and we don't think and we may be causing somebody to look at God in a different way
mm-hmm.
than what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
And
all right.
Those are just two of the ten, so I'll
okay.
leave it alone.
Okay, okay. I hear you. You know that be out there on social media all the time.
Yeah, I know. But it's not
by I did that last week because my mom and dad's birthday is December 9th.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it, and I'm glad you brought that up. I did it because that day was their birthday, but they're in heaven. Not that I'm saying they looking back to get glory on it. I'm telling you, I was thinking of it. But I won't do that anymore because I don't want anybody to be confused about it.
It's a way you can rephrase it, and that's what I'll be doing in my session. So you can say, I remember December 9th where their birthday, and I know that you know.
Yeah, I know.
So even just putting the word in there, oh, I'm remembering my parents' birthday today, or whoever's birthday,
mm-hmm.
it was on this day.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That makes
yeah.
sense.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. And I definitely my desire not to confuse anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but I learned from that and not do that. Not do that. No. I want to do the right thing. And so I don't want people looking at my page and say, ignorant man. I'm just celebrating that. I'm just remembering this day on behalf of my mom and dad on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it.
Well, you ain't the only one. A whole bunch of them out there doing
well,
the same thing.
I mean, that just
widespread.
I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, that's a widespread issue.
We have to be careful what we say because we don't want to mislead anybody, especially in this way. And when we do things, even folks, you got to be careful how you behave. Everywhere you go, we got folks in church being nasty to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be. So when another believer look at that,
mm-hmm.
they like,
oh, and when another sinner man look
now,
at
I
that.
I ain't even talking about a sinner man.
That's the problem.
Another believer.
Mm-mm.
And you know, what do they say?
Mm-mm.
And then sinner man sees this.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Oh, my God. But it can be both. I mean, we shouldn't be seen at all.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
got to be careful how we present God.
Because mm-hmm.
when we, whatever we do, we are, like my mama say, when you leave this house, you represent me. So you better be on your P and Q's when you get out there. Because if not, then back then, when your neighbor see you acting crazy, you're going to get it. And when you get home, you're going to get another one, right? And so,
mm-hmm.
so when you leave home, you are a representative of your parents. So now you say God is your Abba Father. You know, we say God, my Abba Father. I call him Abba Father now. Okay, so when you go anywhere, that's who you represent.
Mm-hmm.
And if we represent God, how are we not careful on how we act?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cause I know I had to be careful how I act. Because if my mama heard I was acting the fool, I know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I not have that same love and honor that I want to make sure how I act because I don't want God to be looked upon like, that's your child?
Mm-hmm.
Whose child it is?
We got to be careful when we witness to people concerning our healing. Because they looking at us. Now, it's easy for me to tell you God's going to heal you because I'm not in your shoes. But when the shoes get put on my foot,
I'm walking around, Lord, why did you do this to me? I can't believe you did this and this and that, and people are listening to me. The reason I'm saying that, because I was in that situation once where I was witness to someone that had cancer. Then when I had sarcoma sitting in my femur area, and the doctor tells me that I'm going to lose my leg, it became real.
Okay.
And then the Lord said, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, why would you allow that to happen to me? And he told me, of course, why not? And then he said, you've been going around witness to other people telling them that I am a healer.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at you now. So what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I have to come to the senses.
Yes,
and get it together.
Yeah.
He told me who you think you're going to believe.
Right.
Now, when a doctor tells me that I'm going to lose my leg, that's why I have to get serious with God, one-on-one. Not with nobody else, one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And I just let it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the Lord, Lord, if you're getting ready to call me home, I'm going to make sure I got it together.
Right.
Because I'm not, I told him, I'm not staying down here with no one leg. That's what I said to God, because I have that relationship with him to talk like that. And then the Lord gave me instruction. I said, you see, I see a family.
Hallelujah.
The only one that got sarcoma, cancer in their femur, most of the time they do lose their leg.
Mm-hmm.
I still got mine.
Praise be to God. Keep a cover, Lord. Keep a cover. He's a good God. He's a good God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Lord.
Glory
to God.
Oh,
hallelujah, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Thank you for your healing power.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, you know, when Jesus was saying how narrow this way is, the people's mentality was like, who?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And we hear scripture that straight is the gate. Narrow is the way.
Mm-hmm.
And if we find that narrow way, we need to walk into it. And so we can't afford to be careless with the way we live,
mm-hmm.
and reckless, and live any kind of way. We have to be. Jesus came here 33 and a half years, and he was on point. Amen.
Every day he came, he was teaching, leading stuff for us to be able to follow. Even what we talk about, selling your goods. You remember Peter then says, we done left houses and land. Was in it for us. They had a concern. They wanted to know, now we done walked away from our business. You know, a lot of them were fishermen. They already had their own business, right? We done walked away from our business. You said, come and follow us, and maybe we just dropped it and came. Now, what is it for us?
Mm-hmm.
He gave them a promise. Nobody that ever left houses and land, mothers and fathers, would be like, read that scripture.
Ain't that the Holy Ghost?
Peter said, behold, we have left our homes and followed you. And he said to them, Jesus, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brother or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much as this time and in the age to come eternal life. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Many times more. Hallelujah. Just leave it all. They ain't going to lose it.
So even if you tell us to sell all you got, you know, you still ain't going to lose everything you got. Because Peter didn't walk away from everything. But Jesus gave them reassurance that not only y'all, no man, that sacrifice for the kingdom is going to be without.
And so, but our thing is that we can't afford to let things we do be it. You know, I'm praying three times a day. I don't do this. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't, you know, I got this stand that this is who I am. And let that be it for us. And then our heart is different from that. And so we gotta know that our heart is what God is looking for, not the things we do.
I think this is just a pivotal point, you know, from previous chapters where we've always talked about flesh and spirit. Mm-hmm. This is a great example. What is this? This is on Numbers 29 when it says, "And circumcision is that of the heart."
Mm-hmm.
And in the spirit, not in the letter, who prays is not from man, is not from man, but from God.
Mm-hmm.
When we start to do things, and it's not about
mm-hmm.
me, it's mm-hmm. like you said the other day, mm-hmm. it's so much more. It's about
mm-hmm.
others, you know, not
mm-hmm.
just about me. Oh,
right.
I need this because this going to benefit me. No,
mm-hmm.
you do it because it'll benefit somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's never about us, but by the time we realize that, it's so much stuff that we've done
mm-hmm.
and having the perception that we're that
mm-hmm.
we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sad thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to kill the flesh daily
mm-hmm.
and ask to be in the spirit. Because when you're in the flesh, you do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking about things.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the spirit, you ain't thinking about it. It ain't
mm-hmm.
about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard because mm-hmm. it's so sad because you thinking that you're really doing something that's great, that's
mm-hmm.
awesome, when
mm-hmm.
in actuality, it's about your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we always miss the mark.
Because
so.
That circumcision, what Elder Heath read, in the natural,
mm-hmm.
they were circumcised
mm-hmm.
in the natural.
Yeah, right.
But they in order to be on track with God, they need to be circumcised in the heart.
Yeah.
So it's, they can do the natural
okay.
and they can do the spiritual.
Okay.
You know?
Wasn't Abraham when he first met God when he first himself?
Yeah. But then doing what God said and then being obedient and following.
Mm-hmm.
I think, wasn't that what the word said about him? It was
mm-hmm.
imputed
yeah.
to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I meant he started out. But God still called him to do, and he was obedient,
mm-hmm.
and he did everything, and, you know, that God said, and I was just like, So, and then again, in the New Testament, because Jesus, too, is trying to, you know, get this into the heart of men, because that's why a lot of them were so self-righteous, the Jews, men, and others, because they alone, you know, could have this procedure. Not
mm-hmm.
that some in some countries, you know, third world, some things they do with women. But
mm-hmm.
that's another reason why they thought themselves above
mm-hmm.
The women
mm-hmm.
because they were the ones, you know, that could go through this ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were the called ones and this ritual, too. And so they, you know, treated women like they were, you know,
yeah.
second class, third class, lower than, you know, one thing saying in here, lower than the dust, so I don't know. So this way, if it's in your heart,
mm-hmm.
he says, that's you talking kingdom now. No,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
it's in your heart. You can't leave out anybody,
mm-hmm.
even
mm-hmm.
the little children.
Right.
You know, and some little children, they're very perceptive to the word of God and to the workings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
How can that be?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
With God.
All things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at two characters, King Saul,
mm-hmm.
King David,
yeah.
if you look at the deeds of what they did, you would say King Saul should really be a man after God's heart, as opposed to King David. When you look at the deeds,
yeah.
the deeds that they've done,
mm-hmm.
if you put them, you weigh them together. I mean, it's all gonna come for a head, right? But it ain't about the deeds you do. It's what's in your heart. Saul never repented for anything he did. He always blamed somebody else. Saul said, hey, if Samuel came here on time, I wouldn't have to go here and do this thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the reason why I kept all that gold, we want to make an offer to you.
Yeah.
The reason why you say destroyed everything, but I was trying to save it for the church.
Yeah.
you say destroy everything, but the church needed it. Right? And so he had justification for everything he did. But David said, have mercy upon me, O God. According to the multitude, he has tended mercy. Blot out my sins, right?
Yeah.
David was repentant. And so it's from the heart that God was able to say, he's a man after my own heart. So if you look at the work compared to the heart, it's totally different. So we can't follow just the working of what people do. But some people do some good works,
yeah.
Some great works.
Yeah.
But good works is not God's work.
Hallelujah.
Because when I think about this man was doing something good, and I believe he had good intention, when the ark was about to fall,
yeah.
He put himself in jeopardy to do the right good thing. But it wasn't a God thing. So he was killed immediately, right? But he was doing a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't according to God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, I question stuff with it. I'm like, no, what would have happened to the ark if he didn't kill? I mean, I think of stuff like that. What would have happened to God if he didn't catch the thing? I mean, he's trying to do a good thing. God, why you do this to me? But if his word went out, his word went out. You say, don't do it. You better not do it. Because his word was not returned back. Not just on the good part.
He said, well, that's a good thing. Yeah, his word said,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think, too, because when God says something about who they're supposed to touch the ark, that's an eternal law or precept of God. And if you were not that, and the other thing too, can't you just see it? If I or somebody here was the one that it was Tyler, we catching and we didn't die for the man, we'd be both. We'd have look.
Yeah.
I was the one that saved the ark.
Oh my God!
Just,
for real.
I'm like Sophia on Bone Girl.
Oh Jesus!
Picture. Because if I was the one, I mean, man,
crowning
king. Yeah. And Queen. No. So no, he couldn't let him live because
he would have took his glory. Wouldn't take glory.
Both of y'all, they better throw a ticker tape parade down New York.
For real.
I lost the ark. I saved the word of God.
Praise be.
It just came to my memory. Someone was talking to me one day, and they told me they don't sing. And I said, you need to be wrapped around out of here, honey. You don't sing because we all have sinned and come to. We sin daily. And I'm like, that was stupid what they just said to me. You know, really, it just showed immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to say right now is this right here. Sometimes we think we know more than God.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's best for us. And that's when we really get in trouble. We can act like the Jews and say that we are his chosen one. Yeah, we are. But when we mess up, we're going to get whooped like if I'm under my mother and I do the wrong thing, she's going to tear my behind up.
Mm-hmm.
And God's going to do the same to us. But when we get so powerful, I've been saved for 50 years. Yeah, but you're still on the pastor pop. You're just growing in age. You haven't matured. So that don't mean nothing.
And I'm not trying to be funny. Some people are still on breast milk. I don't care if they are on it because you can't help but to see it. They haven't even made the first step. But I've been saved for 50 years in the church. Doing what? Sleeping? What? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And you can, you know, I can put on the show in the church, but God knows the truth what I'm doing at home behind the closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
What is I'm doing out there?
Mm-hmm.
Do I pass by people and not show them love? When Jesus walked this earth, he showed everybody love. So why do I have to walk? Sometimes I speak to people, they don't even open their mouth. I'm like, Lord, I know they hear this. The Lord said, don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because it's a Jesus thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we don't recognize that people did not accept Jesus, and he's the Son of God. So why do you think they're going to accept me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we, you know, especially if you want to do evangelism work, you know, and you're going to pass out 1,000 flyers, right? And you're going to ask 1,000 people to come. And one show up, and you get disheartened.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think Jesus invited 500 brothers to go in the upper room, how many showed up? 120. I mean, what percentage that is?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they did that to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and you only got 1 out of 1,000, you gonna feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
So we gotta just see things in perspective and say, okay, at least I did my job in inviting.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
Jesus died for the whole world. But that don't mean the whole world will get saved.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
In talking to, in these verses, 28, 29, whatever, talking about the letter of the law, and he's not a Jew that, you know, just keep it the letter of the law, but he's circumcised, the one who's circumcised in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, because even though they might have been talking about circumcision, about the letter of the law, but just the law itself, that they were changing. Well, they kept changing it or adding to the letter of the law. I mean, the letters kept changing. wait a minute. I thought we had to do this, say this, bow this way, do this one 3 or 4 times a day. You know, they kept changing it. Look, that to me, that's too many letters of the law to keep. So I'm thinking it's right that Jesus said, now look, you circumcise the one that's circumcised in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'd be kind of hard to stick to what the Jews kept changing, you know, what the letter of the law was or the requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Was what they finally established.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't keep 10. How you gonna keep 6? How you gonna keep 600+? I mean, that's a lot to put on your head. You can't even remember all of them.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
That the Holy Ghost gonna tell you when you've been.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't gotta worry about trying to. Okay. When you get down to 100, you're gonna be a tired listener. Right? But the Holy Ghost will scroll down the list and say, hey.
Mm.
Right there, you're missing. Pull up.
Yeah.
You need to pull up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go that way. Come this way. Don't think that thought. You know that's wrong. So God has given us an advantage over the flesh. He's given us the Holy Ghost to dwell in us, to teach us. And like the man of God said on Sunday, the things that Jesus said is what he's going to bring to our remembrance.
Yeah,
what Jesus said,
mm-hmm.
he's going to bring to our memory.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Holy Ghost wants us to know is
what Jesus said. Yeah,
not necessarily what mama said.
Mm-hmm.
What grandmama then told us.
What Jesus said.
Amen.
We got two here that may want to say something.
Brother Davis, you can bad.
You good?
Yeah.
Big and Dave.
Big and Davis.
You got anything you want to say? You good. Okay.
So this is our last noonday for 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have bought a little celebration, but we didn't know we're coming up this quick.
Yeah, next week, but following week we'll be there.
The following week?
I believe.
No, that's what family focus too.
Next week is Christmas week.
And then after
we're
that,
not
New
here.
Year's.
But New Year's week, I don't know if we're not here New Year's week.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Yeah, so y'all just know that we're not here Christmas week. Next week is family focus week. But the following week,
we'll verify that.
We'll have a noonday and we'll have a New Year's Eve service, I believe, which is going to be that weekend.
Yeah, we'll verify that.
Yeah, we'll verify that, but next week we already know.
All right, thank you all so much. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Time to give our offering. We thank God for his word. Amen. And we thank God that we know that it ain't about what we do. It's about how we do it because we're part of what we do. Envelope.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. We thank God for opportunity to give.
Even in these days and times, we still have something we can give.
Amen. So let us give our offering. Yes, sir. Yes. Monday?
Okay. We're going to pray before we leave.
Okay.
Awesome.
Amen. Amen. God is faithful. He's still in the healing business. Amen. Still working miracles. Even though it may not be possible with man, but with God, all things. To them that believe. And thing we got to protect is our faith. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. We have faith, we'll obtain the good of the kingdom. And that's why Satan is after your faith. He's studying your house, studying your car, definitely studying your spouse. Can't do nothing with it. But he's after your faith. If he can get your faith, God got you. And so we got to make sure that's why we come to church. It's to increase our faith. The reason why we come to Bible study is to increase our faith. We didn't come to church to look to see who got on what and who got on what. No, we want to increase our faith day by day because we're going to need it. And God put us through situations to help us to increase our faith. If you never been sick, you ain't gonna pray like you really gonna pray. You ain't never had no trouble, you ain't gonna really pray like you really need to pray. But when you get some trouble, you start slinging snot and everything, getting on your knees, and then every time you think about it, you gonna pray. But when things going good, you done drive by press, don't keep going, right? But I'm telling you, God will keep you on your knees because he loves you and know that your faith is valuable to you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen, and I just wanted to encourage all of us, and as you go to your respective places, to encourage people to come out for the 31-year anniversary,
mm-hmm.
which is starting on tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Thursday and Friday, and then Sunday. Mm-hmm. But it's a shame for these folks to come in here from out of town somewhere to preach at our anniversary service, and we don't be in the house.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be in the house. If it's any way possible, be in the house for our 31-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be looking for you, okay? All right.
Mm-hmm. Let's close up. Close up.
Can I pray for him first?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm
connection to Jesus.
I'm good.
Okay. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We bless you, we honor you, God. We glorify you, Lord God. You are the great I am, Lord God. You're the Prince of Peace, Lord God. You're the great deliverer, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. That you knew that we. You knew it already, God. And so therefore, Lord God, you have already answered our prayer with this man of God. This faithful servant of God. Hallelujah. I thank you right now, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for your healing power, for the crown of his head to the soul of his feet. I thank you, Lord God, that you regulate his mind, Lord God, that his heart be restored to you all the days of his life. Okay, I thank you, Lord, right now, God. I thank you right now, Lord God, that he trusts you with all of his heart, no need to his own understanding. That everything that he does, he acknowledges you and you shall direct his pathway. I thank you, Lord God, for peace that's a path. Is all understanding. And even when people don't even realize or can't understand why we have this peace. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, that he can let them know it is the peace of God. The world did not give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I thank you for it right now, God. I thank you, Lord God, to move in the fear from him right now. Jesus, let him walk in victory from this day forward. As he goes forth, oh, God, for this surgery. Oh, God, I pray whatever he has to do, God. I pray, Lord God, right now. That second opinion or whatever he's going in to do. Lord God, I pray right now, Lord God, the doctor's mind and their heart right now, God. Hallelujah. Is renewed to what they need to do. I pray that you will give them wisdom, that you will give them knowledge, you will give them understanding in Jesus' name. And so, God, I thank you. And I bless you for it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, and give you all the praise. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Now, Deacon Beth, you asked us to pray for you going in to get something done. What was that?
It's a second opinion.
Second opinion.
Yes. Right.
So we want to, I want to reiterate that.
Yeah.
Going in for a second opinion. He's going in for a second opinion. So, God, we thank you, Lord God. And we bless you, Lord God, that these folks will have wisdom. They will have knowledge to understand and know what he needs to do. And I thank you for it, God, because you are speaking to them right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare that it is done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Come on and give God glory.
Hallelujah.
Bless you. You're welcome.
Warriors to get on.
Amen.
Thank you, God.